I think it's helpful for us to remember as we hear our gospel passage from Matthew this morning that Matthew has a pretty clear objective in writing his gospel. He's writing to a community within the Jewish faith and is connecting Jesus the Messiah to the Jewish scriptures, helping them to see all these different connections. Here we hear the prophet Amos referenced and other ways throughout Matthew's gospel where Matthew says, see, look at this Jesus guy. He's the one that God has been talking about all this time. You know, very much grounded in the Jewish faith. And yet here in this Epiphany passage, this story of the Magi, I think we have here the seeds where Matthew is showing that the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ goes far beyond just the boundaries of the Jewish community to whom he was promised. But here we have a declaration that even in the birth of Jesus, that this was an event that transcended lines of religion and ethnicity and nationality, bringing these kings from the east to come and pay homage. And perhaps for us here in 2020, Christians in the United States, we might see a little of ourselves in the Magi, ones who've heard about the birth of the King of the Jews and have come to pay homage to this foreign-born Jewish infant whose birth heralds a new kingdom at hand. Or perhaps, for us here in 2020, this passage from Matthew's gospel sparks our imagination in the actions of Herod. You know, as we reflect on our own time and context, where we have leaders who pay lip service to that which is good, while acting in ways that leaves their communities in the grips of fear. But I think we should be very cautious as we hear this story about receiving it as an invitation to divide folks into Magi and into Herods, into those who are seeking after Christ, following God's will, even when it perhaps puts them at risk, and those who are serving, who are seeking their own good, looking to control those around them and maintain their own power and privilege. Because if we fall into that sorting and division, we might be sorely tempted to see ourselves as purely the self-righteous dupe, everyone else is the bad guy, to arrogantly assume that we are the ones who have God on our side and anyone else who wants to say the same better fall in line. There's a reason that within the liturgy of our worship, that we make a point of weekly naming our confession, of reminding ourselves that for as right and as proper as it is for us to affirm the good that we do in this world, the love that we extend to others, the compassion that we have for those in need, that each of us fall short, that there are ways that we do the things we shouldn't, that we don't, and we would like to just go along and get along, even if it means that someone else gets hurt in the process, or any other number of different ways that we fail to live up to this calling to be Christ in this world. But thanks be to God, friends, that Jesus came for folks like us, to free those who are in bondage to sin and cannot free themselves, cover us with his righteousness, so that we might stand blameless before God because of what Christ has done for us. That's the good news that we hear throughout God's Word, throughout the Gospels. God's grace is for you this day and every day. Do you know it? Do you believe it? Do you feel it deep in your bones? Forgiveness. New and abundant life, now and in the life to come. Promises that are made and sealed in the life, death, and resurrection of the King the Magi came to pay homage to. These are promises for you. And I hope you feel it, friends, I hope that it strengthens and sustains you daily. The truth of the gospel of Jesus is that our restoration isn't the end of the story. It's just part of it. It's not the final chapter. It's the section where the action really starts to pick up. Having been claimed and freed by the power of Christ, we are called to then become the body of Christ here and now, in this world, in the communities and the relationships that we are a part of, to bear into the lives of others that same transformative gift of new and abundant life. We get to carry the power of Christ into the lives of folks everywhere, bringing healing, transformation, and new life. But as Matthew foreshadows in this passage, it will not always be easy. Matthew names in his gospel the harsh reality that following God, pursuing the way of Christ, will often put us at odds with worldly powers and authorities. Because it isn't convenient or comfortable for rulers and authorities to have the voice of Christians calling for a way of life where even those who would be called enemies are named as beloved children of God, deserving of our prayers and compassion. It isn't great for the bottom line when those who follow Jesus declare that all people, not just those born into the right communities or gifted with a particular set of ableness, deserve to share in God's abundance in this world, with proper food and shelter and care for their health and well-being. It makes for complicated and messy policy to have the body of Christ standing for the justice of God, calling for the liberation of those who are imprisoned, for communities and for systems that turn from entrenched structures of racism or bigotry to models that respect the divine image found in all people. Whether our focus is on the families in the community of Sussex who are supported by a shared ministry of Sussex Outreach Services, or on the ministries of Cross Lutheran and Hepatha Lutheran, who've welcomed us to join them in serving folks in need in their neighborhoods, or if it's directed at family and children who remain detained at our nation's border, or any different other instances of need within our world, our Lord and Savior was clear. The message was revealed to us that Jesus continues to be present in our midst, found in the people who society has pushed to the margins. And how we receive the needs and the concerns of folks in vulnerable situations, whether with homage and compassion or with disdain and apathy, is how we treat the Christ child before us. And we may not have, friends, gold and frankincense and myrrh to give the holy family of Jesus and Mary and Joseph. We are blessed with untold opportunities to care for the holy families in our own midst. People in the midst of insecurity caused by rulers who care more for their own wealth and power than for the well-being of folks in their communities. So this is where we find ourselves, dear people. As Christians in 2019 in the United States, inheritors of new life, bearers of truth of God's amazing, boundary-crossing, expansive love and compassion, heralds of the promise of grace for all people. So let us go together, friends. Let us seek out these holy families in our midst, that we might pay homage to Christ who is found there. Let us go where they are, carrying generous gifts on behalf of the one who gave us all. Amen.